You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as it's of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Friends, I invite you to take your seat and let's just take a moment and spend a bit of time in prayer. Lord, as we prepare to celebrate this important moment in the history of the church, Pentecost, we pray the following. We pray, Lord, understanding why we gather here. We can be outside enjoying the sun. We can be out shopping. We can be out for a walk on the beach, but we are here. Not to attend a show or a concert, but to worship the Savior of our soul. Almighty living God, hearts filled with the expectation to meet and encounter our Creator, and a readiness and a willingness to yield our lives to Him. And so we pray, and we're going to take time to come before our God in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. As you brought order out of chaos at the beginning, will you brood over the chaos that we have created in today's world so that people everywhere may learn the way of life as you intend and find purpose, meaning, and hope in their existence. Lord, where there is oppression and abuse of power of others, will you bring justice? Where there is anxiety and fear in this room and in this world, will you bring peace? Where there is hatred and division, will you bring your love? Where the resources of this awesome world that you've created are being exploited, and we fail as stewards of your land and sea, grant us repentance and the grace to learn a better way. Will you guide and lead the rulers of this world, of the nations, into ways of justice and integrity, of truth and love and peace? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, to your church, to this church today. Breathe into us new life and zeal and the light for the gospel. Set our hearts on fire with your love, we pray. Grow your own fruit in our lives. Lord, and as you did that day in Jerusalem, in all our diversity, make us one in truth and love. Let the gifts of all be valued and used for the common good, for the sake of your kingdom. Empower and equip us to bear compelling witness to Jesus Christ as Lord by the way we live and speak and serve, that many will come to know him for themselves. Lord, will you make us unafraid to stand out from the crowd? And let it be seen that we have been with Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, to all who need your presence today. Spirit of comfort, be near to all who are sad and lonely. Spirit of power, give your strength to all who are carrying heavy burdens. To all who are weary of life's journey. Spirit of peace, speak calm to troubled hearts and minds. Spirit of life and light, will you lift from despair those for whom daily life has lost interest, meaning, and hope? Christ, will you shine your light into their darkness? Come, Holy Spirit, and do a new work through this church and the church in this land and your church in all the world. Will you revive us and equip us for those tasks to which your people in every age and place are being called? Sweep your church forward with new life, new hope, new vision. And then so, Holy Spirit, may glory be given to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So next week is an important, thank you to our worship team. Next week is an important day in the Christian calendar. We remember and celebrate again Pentecost. Now in Scripture there is, and so today I want to prepare us as I hold just something before us and encourage and challenge us as you sit here today. Which is no accident, sir, by the way, to prepare your hearts for next week and that celebration of that remembrance of God's Holy Spirit coming on His people. So I want to talk with us about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Scripture, there are many and beautiful imagery about that relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit and what God's Spirit, His imminent indwelling presence in our lives, what God wants to do with you and in you and through you. Now, last year, you remember, I took 3 months preaching about the Holy Spirit. But I didn't speak much about this imagery. So take a look at this, this video. Some time ago, we sent our cameras to a pottery studio. And so we find in Scripture this imagery as we think and talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, this idea of the potter and the clay. And we understand the idea is that God is the potter, not you, not me, but that God is the potter and you and I, we are the clay. And the idea is that you and I surrender our lives to this artist, the creator, our beautiful Lord, as we put our trust in Him and say, Lord, will you take my life, this lump of clay, all that I am, all that I hope to be, all my mess, all my baggage, all my nonsense, all my weaknesses, all my strengths, all my hopes, my dreams, my fears, anxieties, worries. Will you take this whole lump of clay and I surrender it and I place it on the potter's wheel? And say, Lord, will you shape me? Will you reshape me where needed? Will you mold me and make something beautiful of my life? And so, friends, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to hold this imagery before us. And I pray that you will hold it and that the Holy Spirit will carry this imagery for you as you go through this week in your heart and life, this idea of the potter and the clay. And Lord, I want to yield this lump of clay to your work, the work of your Spirit in me. And so I pray for a fresh and a powerful and a beautiful and a gentle, a new, fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on us all. The truth is, though, let's be honest with one another, it's not easy to be the clay, right? We far prefer being the potter. Some of us think we're quite good at it, actually. We prefer the role of potter, of shaper and molder. The clay? Well, that's not so much fun. As we understand this image, and if you've seen what potters do with clay, we understand that to be the clay is going to involve a bit of kneading, and rolling, and squeezing, and shaping. And none of that sounds like a great deal of fun. Ah, but we remember Psalm 18, where it says that the hands of God, the hand of the potter, has done mighty things. And so what we do is we place our lives, and this is my invitation to you, to once again say, Lord, I want to be your clay. I want to put my life on your potter's wheel, and I surrender, and I know it's going to mean putting my faith and my trust in you. But my hope is, and my faith and my trust is, that as you have done mighty things, as you shape and mold me, you will do mighty things with me, in me, and through me. And I trust that you have a plan for my life. You have a clear vision of what it is you are creating with me. And I want to yield to that. I want to surrender to that. I want to stop playing the potter and be the clay. And that means inviting the hand of God to come upon us and, where necessary, do a bit of rolling and kneading and softening and shaping and reshaping, creating something beautiful. This ties in beautifully with our theme for the year about being intentional about your growth and development. This is, again, as we come here halfway, almost halfway in the year now, where we just stand up again and we reaffirm what we said at the start of the year. We say, God, yes, take this lump of clay and I again surrender it to the potter's wheel. Shape me into something beautiful. I want to grow and become, because we understand, dear friends, that at the heart of this shaping is all about becoming more like Jesus. So just very quickly, this imagery of being shaped, the potter and the clay, is woven throughout our beautiful scriptures right from the beginning in the book of Genesis. You remember at creation, we have this imagery of God coming, taking dust and shaping it and molding it as he created those first human beings and then breathing life into. So from creation, we see this idea of God as potter, creating, shaping, creating something beautiful. In Psalm, we read throughout the Psalm, Psalm 139, we read this, verse 13, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together, you formed me." This to knit together is the same concept, the same word as a potter working with clay. That's what's being expressed here. You formed me in my mother's womb. Then the prophet Isaiah, we read the same imagery and idea, Isaiah 64, verse 8. "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." That's repeated in Jeremiah 18, if you're interested. Then we turn to the New Testament. The same idea continues. We see in the life of Jesus. We read of the story in John's Gospel, chapter 9. You remember Jesus and the man born blind. Jesus taking some dirt and he spits in it and he makes clay, mud, and he puts it on his eyes. And the same idea of the potter and the clay just emanates from that as he puts it on the man's eyes and he can see again. You remember that story? Paul picks up this imagery as well in all of Paul's writings. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." So this idea, and this is a very quickly running through Scripture, but I want us to understand this idea about a God who from the very beginning has his hand on us, right from our birth and before, as he shapes us and molds us in our mother's womb, he is shaping us. But what Scripture tells us is we must understand God doesn't just end there when we are born. God says, "Thank you, it was great, and now I walk away." That there is this ongoing process of God shaping and molding. Theologians call this sanctification, the ongoing work of God in our lives, of us becoming more like Jesus. And the idea is that you and I daily, as we take our feet out of our beds and we place them on the side of the bed before we even get up out of bed, we say, "God, I give my life to you, this lump of clay. Holy Spirit, will you make me, shape me, and form me? Continue your sanctifying work in me." And at the heart of it is about becoming more like Jesus. That's what it's about. And gravitating around this idea of becoming more like Jesus is about loving God with our everything and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's what this is about. This is why we daily yield to our God. It is the goal of Christian life. It's a goal of all that we do is to become more like Jesus. But how will we when we take our lives off of the potter's wheel and play potter? And forget that we are the clay. Galatians 5, Paul tells us about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and produce in you. You know this so well. Joy, love, peace, a bit of patience. Let me work that in there. Let me shape a bit of kindness in you. Let me shape a bit of goodness in you. Let's just twist this a little bit and get a bit of faithfulness and a whole bunch of extra dose of gentleness in you. And how about a bit of self-control? Let's shape that in there. You and I cannot. We can surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, but it is the Spirit of God that produces this in us when we place our lives on the potter's wheel. I pray that God will fill you with a deep desire to want to be on the potter's wheel. See, the truth is, whether we like it or not, we are constantly being shaped all the time, actually. Culture, our family of origin, our friends, teachers, media. No matter how glamorous you are, you're being shaped. And the Holy Spirit, being gentle, will not force himself upon us. And so there needs to be moments like this where you and I stand up and say, God, I want you to shape me. I want to be your handiwork. I don't want to be the handiwork of my parents or the handiwork of my teachers or the handiwork of friends or the handiwork of culture or the handiwork of the media. I want to be your handiwork. You shape me. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. How does God shape us? How does he do that? Well, God can use infinite ways to shape us. But I want to just highlight a few for us. How does God mold and shape us when we yield ourselves to him? Who does God use? How does God work about going with his Holy Spirit working on our lives? Well, the first is this. I think so much. And as we read Acts chapter 2, the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, and we read of the work of the church right throughout the book of Acts, right at the beginning of chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, we read this that they were all together at the end of chapter 2. We see this clear growing desire within them to want to be together, to want to be community. And so I want to say this to us, one of the key ways so much of the shaping and forming and molding work of the Holy Spirit on our lives takes place within the context of community. God uses other people to help shape and mold us, other brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I want to encourage us, part of when you say, yes, Lord, I place my life on the potter's wheel. Yes, Lord, I want you to shape and mold me. You must understand what you're saying yes to. You're saying yes to being in community. Because God uses community. You see, here's the problem. Here's what I see all the time. Here's what we do. Is the minute we are hurting, the minute we are broken, the minute we are burned out and we're weary and we're tired and we're angry and we're disappointed and we're let down, we withdraw. We disconnect. We take time out. And we isolate ourselves. In essence, what we do is, in so many respects, we're taking ourselves off the potter's wheel. We are disconnecting from a big part of how God works. And the whole biblical idea, in part of how Paul writes in his letters about what happens to those who are hurting and broken and damaged and burnt out, is this imagery of what the body should do, being one body, is being strapped closer to the body. But what we tend to do is we cut it off. But the idea is that it gets wrapped and strapped tight to the body. Why? Why do you think that is? Why does Paul say that? Why does Paul write like that? Because so much of the healing and transforming and shaping and molding work of God, of the Spirit, happens in the context of this, of community, of being together. God uses his daughters and sons to help shape us. Don't give up. Especially resist the temptation when you are angry, when you are frustrated, when you are burned out, when you're tired, when you've had enough of stepping away. Step closer and say, hey, I need you to help me and support me. I can't give right now. I need to receive right now. Let God use his body. to shape and mold and heal and transform. God uses other people. We see that throughout the coming of the Holy Spirit, there's a clear connection with the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, and a growing desire to be in community. Other people. Secondly, worship. I preached about this a few weeks ago. Worship is such a key tool that God uses to shape and mold us. Because what we do during worship is we say, Lord, as I'm in worship here, I surrender and I place myself on the potter's wheel. Lord, this is what's happened this week. This is what I'm worried about going forward. Lord, here I am. Lord, what do you have to say about it? I worship you. I acknowledge you as King. Worship is an important tool in God's Holy Spirit shaping and molding us. Don't give up on the habit of worshiping your God, both in private and in public. See, because what happens is, and I had to learn this lesson the hard way. So part of my initial studies of my road to ordination in the Methodist Church was my wife and I, Catherine, we lived in what we call a township. So really, essentially, we lived in a shack for a year with no plumbing, no running water, electricity, none of that. And we lived with a community, and it was in a cross-cultural setting with a language that we don't know, we don't understand, we don't speak it. And the bishops gave me 18 churches to take care of in this community. And so we would go to these 18 rural churches, and I would step into worship, and I didn't understand a word. And they'd start worshiping, and it was old, traditional, vernacular African hymns. I didn't know what I was singing. And initially, I was getting frustrated. I'm thinking, oh boy, this is going to be a long year. Not just that, church started at 10, and it ended at 4 in the afternoon. You think I preach long? You have no idea. And I'm standing there, and it's hot, it's 40 degrees, and I'm there, and I've got my robes, my clerical robes, and my dog collar, and stoles, and I'm dripping with sweat as I'm standing there, and I don't understand even what's going on. Until one day, out of sheer frustration in worship, see, because this is what we do often. We come, it's like, why are we singing that song again? Didn't we sing it last week? Why are we singing all these old songs? Why are we singing all these new songs? Why is it so loud? Why is it so soft, the young people would say. Why are the lights flashing? The young people, can the lights flash more, please? And this is what was going on in my heart until one day I stood there and I just realized we make worship about all these things, and it's not about any of those things. It's about the attitude of the heart, and it's an attitude that says, God, take this lump of clay. I give it to you. I adore you. I worship you, my God and creator. This is what happened yesterday, and this freaked me out. Can I just give that to you? Lord, tomorrow I've got this exam, and it's stressing me out. Can I just give that to you? God, what do you have to say? And I yield myself, and I worship you, and I acknowledge you as King and Lord. And all of a sudden, it didn't matter what we were singing. It's almost a miracle to play. It's almost like I could understand what we were singing. Right? And so I want to say to you, friends, when you gather in this place here, make it about one thing and one thing only. The attitude of your heart. Be here with the attitude, be here as if you got special information and you knew that Jesus is coming back 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. Right? Think about this. Imagine you knew that and you came here on Sunday morning and you knew 8 o'clock tomorrow morning Jesus is coming. How will you be worshiping? Right? And so God uses these moments to shape us and mold us so that we can become more like Jesus. That really, at the end of the day, is what it's all about. We get confuddled and confused with buying new cars and houses and organizing my trip to South Africa and all of this and all my meetings, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But at the end of the day, it's about this. Becoming more like Jesus. So by the way, I'm not buying new cars and houses. So don't panic. I don't have money for that. Finally, I'm wrapping this up. A key part of this is ensuring that the clay remains malleable, teachable, soft. Hardened clay cannot be molded and shaped. And this is here where we run the greatest risk. So part of my prayer is, Lord, will you give me a teachable spirit, a malleable soul? A couple of thoughts on how we do that. Practice Selah. Selah is this beautiful word we come across in the Psalms. It means to pause and reflect. Stop and pay attention. Moses, the burning bush. He could have just walked on by. He stopped, he turned, he noticed, he paid attention, he drew closer, he came, walked in closer to investigate the strange thing that his eyes are seeing. And it was only then that he heard God speak his name. Pause and reflect. Take time to notice. It will keep your heart soft. Practice gratitude. Nothing softens the heart like gratitude. Practice just daily saying, God, thank you for my shoes. Thank you that it's not 45 degrees outside. 40 will be fine, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my home. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Nothing keeps the heart soft like gratitude. Practice not just saying thank you, but practice saying sorry. Oh, boy. Do we stink at that? Nothing keeps the heart soft like not being shy to say, you know what, that was my fault. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Practicing repentance keeps the heart soft. Practice leaning into wilderness, into discomfort, into the uncomfortable. Don't run away from it. You want to keep your heart soft and malleable? Then practice leaning into it, not running from it. And part of that means welcoming and accepting correction. Oh boy. The older we get, the harder this becomes. Accepting correction into our lives. Who do you think you are telling me? Nothing keeps the heart soft like leaning into moments of uncomfortableness, accepting correction. Okay, final thought. The beautiful thing I see about Jesus, and it's just a final thought, because as we sit here, I'm so aware, we are these vessels of clay, right? But so many of us are seated here with cracks and chips and brokenness. So many of our vessels are broken. As I look at Jesus, the most beautiful thing I see about Jesus as he walked this earth, he practiced being the potter, and he seemed to be forever seeking out the broken vessels, the cracked vessels, the chipped vessels. It's as if he intentionally was seeking out the broken heart to reshape and repair and transform and heal. And so if you are broken in some way, I invite you to place your life on the potter's wheel so that he can heal and reshape and remold where you've been hurt and damaged. Do you know your brokenness? For we are all broken. Some of it we see, some of it we don't see. But the beauty about being placed in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the Holy Spirit help us to see our brokenness and recognize our brokenness. And a big, large part of that is recognizing and understanding our behavior. Why do you behave the way that you do? It's as I'm on the potter's wheel, the Spirit of God helps me understand and gives me insight into what motivates my behavior, gives me insight into who I am. And then he takes me and he reshapes and he remolds. We are all broken. I'm sorry to have to tell you. Do you know your brokenness? Where you need some repairing to be done by God's beautiful Holy Spirit. I invite you to put your life back on the potter's wheel. Oh, I have so much more to say, but I won't. Lord, will you come and do for me what you did for Mary Magdalene? Broken, demon-possessed, cast out the demons and healed her into this beautiful disciple of yours. Will you come and do for me what you did for that lady at the well, outcast, and how you transformed and molded her from outcast to leader of a community. Lord, will you come and do for me what you did for that man who lived among the tombs? Outcast, and you shaped and reshaped and molded him, the artist that you are, the potter, the creator that you are, into a man who left that place evangelizing the region of the Decapolis. Will you do for me what you did for Zacchaeus? I invite you to have a look in a prayerful attitude at this video. Make it a moment of prayer as you look at this and think about, have you been playing potter? Have you removed yourself from the potter's wheel? Forgotten that you are the clay? Will you look at this video with two things in your mind? Number one, as a recommitment to place your life back on the potter's wheel. And secondly, to pray for a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Trusting Him to make something beautiful with your life. Friends, if you want to pray those two things, I ask that we close our eyes. If you want to pray those two things, God, I want to give my life and surrender it to you, placing it back on the potter's wheel. Will you shape me and mold me? And Lord, I ask for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit in my life. Then I'm going to invite you to stand and I'm going to pray for us. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you sustain my life and my hope. Friends, why don't we stretch our arms out as we pray, just as a sign, as a symbol. Lord, and now as I inhale deeply, let that inhaling, may that expansion of my lungs be imagery for me now. May it be for me an image, an invitation as I breathe in, an invitation to you, come fill me afresh, Lord. Fill me afresh, Spirit of God, as I breathe, as I draw breath. Symbolically, I say, Lord, come for me, Holy Spirit. As I place my life on the potter's wheel again, I say, forgive me for playing potter. As I give you this life of mine, this lump of clay with all my chips and brokenness and cracks and hurt and pain, whatever it might be, Lord, I say and I give, surrender my life to your hands, into your hands, and I say, breathe life into the parts of me that feel dormant and lifeless and broken. Will you bring order and beauty to the chaos within me? As I yield myself to the work of your Holy Spirit, I lay my life on the potter's wheel. And now, as I prepare to leave this place, I'm reminded that the Lord who loves me says in the book of Ezekiel, I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.